Well, thank you. I'm excited to be here to talk about one of my favorite topics, and that is private wells and public health. So I am happy to have all these faces here to be part of this conversation with us. So title of this topic is How the New Mexico Department of Health Uses Private Well Nitrate Data to Make Decisions. And here's an outline of what I'll be talking about today. First, I'll talk quickly about the purpose of the New Mexico Department of Health's private well program. I'll provide a quick background of the geography and regulations that are related to private wells in the state of New Mexico. We'll talk for just a moment on why does New Mexico Department of Health care about nitrate concentrations in domestic wells, a description of the collaborators and our data sources. And then the methods I will discuss in three different sections. The first section will just be about data collection and cleaning and preparing for use, because I think that will be useful information for those of you that are real-life data users. Part two will be the part of the work that was solely my work, which was a census tract ranking and classification. And then part three was a cluster analysis that was performed by our two tracking epidemiologists by the New Mexico Department of Health, Eric Coker, who is now a postdoc at Berkeley, and Anthony Fristocchi, who he said, if anybody asks you questions and you don't know the answer, just give them my email address. So I have Tony's email address for you after this is over. A quick description of our results, and at the end we'll talk about the conclusions and our plans for future work in New Mexico. So what is the private well program? When people ask me that question in my building where we have multiple other state agencies working, they normally ask me, is that like a wellness thing? And I'm like, no, it's like drinking water. Like, do you know where your drinking water comes from? And a lot of people don't really think about it, and I'm sure that everybody in this room knows about how important it is and how difficult it can be to get that conversation going with people. So the long-term outcomes that we are working towards in New Mexico, the private well program, we are working to decrease drinking water hazards in New Mexico, to reduce the exposure to waterborne contaminants, and to improve the health of people of New Mexico through access to safe water. Those are the outcomes that we're working for. Our program has been 100% funded by the CDC and CEH since FY 2012. And back in September, we were just awarded a new five-year grant. So yay, I have a job for a while. So what do we do? My primary job, the job that they gave me when I interviewed for this position 4 years ago, was they said, we want you to go out to all the labs and we want you to get the domestic well data. And I'm a New Mexican, a fifth generation New Mexican, where we really value our independence and our privacy. And I'm like, you want me to do what? You want me to go get somebody's private data and get them to share it with you without any regulation? Are you going to pay me even if I don't get it? And they said, yes, you just have to try. I'm like, okay, I'll take the job. So I took the job, and it's my job to gather all the existing data that there is on domestic wells. A little bit of my job is to collect new data, but most of it is to collect things that are already existing, to map it. I do a lot of mapping in my everyday job, and to display the data that I do map in a sensitive way that protects that privacy that us New Mexicans prize so highly. And then we use that information to make decisions, and we use this information also to help other people make decisions. So a little bit about New Mexico. This map is a digital elevation model of New Mexico. I think that a lot of people that have never visited think about New Mexico as being flat. They just think of like cactus and sunshine. So, you know, we do not have the size or the relief that Alaska has, but we are a very large state. So we have an area of over 100,000 square miles. We have the lowest ratio of water to land in the 50 states. And the relief is 10,325 feet. I have Wheeler Peak marked out at the top in the northern part of the map. And then the lowest spot in the state of New Mexico is the spot that's marked down at the bottom that is the Red Bluff Reservoir as it's going into Texas. The population listed here on this slide is the population from the Bureau of Business and Economic Research for New Mexico, and it's an estimate from 2013, so these numbers are a little bit old. But just over 2 million people live in New Mexico, and out of those 2 million people, over 500,000 live in the metropolis, in the metro area of Albuquerque. And there are about 3/4 as many sheep and cattle as there are people in the state of New Mexico. So we have not a lot of people over a large area. So the moral of this story here is that a domestic well is sometimes the only source of water that people have access to. Our people are also likely to have an on-site wastewater treatment system on the same property. So this means that quite a few of my family members and I grew up using a private well and a septic tank. And we won't stick on this map that I made for too long, but just to give people an idea of the variety throughout the state of New Mexico. The major biomes that we have range from desert, grassland and scrubland, juniper savanna, pinyon and juniper woodland, ponderosa pine, and mixed conifer. And it goes all the way up. We have these little spots of white on the map. Those are actually alpine tundra. And the red swatches of land throughout the map are Chihuahuan desert scrub. So there is a very large spread of the different types of vegetation throughout our state. Regarding regulatory agencies in New Mexico, the quality of water is not regulated in New Mexico by our state. But the quantity of water or the ability to get to use it is, and that's regulated by the Office of the State Engineer in New Mexico. You have to have a licensed driller drill your well if you're going to have a drilled well. And that's heavily regulated, but the quality of the water coming out of that well is not. We do have an Environment Department that does regulate on-site wastewater treatment systems, and we'll talk a little bit more about that during our conclusion section. So the New Mexico Department of Health cares about nitrate in domestic well water for a few different reasons. Directly, our primary concern is blue baby syndrome, which we have had a case of from a domestic well in New Mexico before. Secondary, little is really known about possible health effects of chronic, moderate to high nitrate in drinking water exposure. So we are concerned that there are some issues related to this exposure over a long period of time, but we don't really know exactly what that is. And then indirectly, nitrate is a marker of water affected by human and animal waste. This is what keeps me up at night. In the state of New Mexico, the groundwater is rarely over 0.7 milligrams per liter in nitrate as nitrogen, unless it is being affected by a human or animal source. The safe drinking water standard for a community water supply is 10 milligrams per liter. So water would have to be very heavily contaminated by a human or animal source before it would necessarily reach that that regulatory standard. And of course, as I said, the domestic wells are not regulated, but because we don't have regulations for domestic wells, we use the safe drinking water standard as a metric for comparison's sake. And I always really like it when somebody else besides me says what I think, so I put this in here. This was from a USGS report in 2013 that said, the most common water quality problem in rural water supplies is bacterial contamination from septic tank effluent. This is what worries me. And this picture that I put up for you here, the large thing here, this is an animal cell showing you the various sizes of viruses and bacteria in relationship to the size of an animal cell. And then off to the right, this chart, the top three bars, this is showing you basic pore size from silt to gravel. And then underneath, it's showing you the different sizes of protozoa and fungi, different bacteria and viruses. So really, all of these different, as I tell my grandma, all those critters can get in your well water, grandma, because the pore size would allow them to squeeze through. So the different data sources that we get information from, and they're various. We get them from various federal, state, tribal, council, county, and local government sources. One of the biggest sources of data is the New Mexico Environment Department. Although they don't regulate the wells, they do regulate the wastewater. And so that they can have a better relationship with some of their communities, they have provided free domestic well testing since 1982 to like 10 different communities a year, and they rotate it throughout the state. So that's a really cool program that they've been able to provide, and it's been a nice source of data that we've been able to tap into. The New Mexico Office of the State Engineer, although they have no water quality data, they do have well logs and other things like location information or well yield, which is very valuable information. We also get information from USGS and my friend Alex over here, who does biomonitoring in our state. We also get some of our data from the biomonitoring program, where we're collecting a well water sample as well as urine and analyzing them both for metals. We won't go into too much of that today. The New Mexico Bureau of Mining and Mineral Resources is kind of a strange agency. I don't know how it's set up in other states, but this is a state agency that's housed at New Mexico Tech, which is a university. And so it's one of those kind of hybrid things, which is means they provide really good information and data. So here's a picture of one of the private well water fairs that's going on. So the quality of the data ranges from a water fair like this, where it is a on-site test that's brought in by a homeowner. So the information that we get for location might just be a address or a rural address that I then have to geocode, all the way to the information from New Mexico Tech, which is high quality data that was collected by a GPS, and they give me the data and the metadata. So there's about 18,000 observations in this data set, and this is a model that I came up because we don't have enough money to just do all the interventions that need to be done. So we had to come up with a way to say, in our state, these are the people and these are the places that need the health education tools and the intervention, and this is where we need to focus. So this is an equation that I made up that says, this is where we have a high density of septic tanks. This is where we have a high concentration of people. And this is where we have people that are younger than 5 or over 65, so I think they're more at risk of becoming ill. So these are the places that I want to focus my attention on. And then my friends from the tracking, they did a cluster analysis for us that included median household income and percent of childhood poverty, low educational attainment, renter occupied, which is important because those people don't have the resources always to be able to install water treatment or to hook up to city water if they want to, non-white, and homes older than 1950. So this was a novel Bayesian profile regression approach, and I won't go too much into the cluster analysis because I don't want to say things that aren't true. But right here, this ranking result. So there are 499 census tracts in New Mexico. The gray census tracts are census tracts where there were no nitrate observations. And there were no nitrate observations because nobody's ever tested the water and told us about it. Or it's a place where nobody lives that has a private well. And then, so I assigned a rank or score to all these census tracts, and then I grouped them by geometric interval. And then I said they have a low, medium, high, or very high need for intervention. And so then out of these around 300 census tracts, I identified 16 census tracts that said this is where I needed to focus. Here are, within Bernalillo County, once again, these gray spots, this is an urban area, so there aren't domestic wells there. This identified in this large county, these are the places that I need to focus. For the cluster analysis, this is nitrate concentration by cluster, so there are four clusters. As I said earlier, 0.7 is the concentration at which You don't normally see it, and you see that this is at 2.5. So pay attention to cluster 2 because that one is the low one, and I think this one's the most interesting to me. Here we have nitrate, percent child poverty, no high school, median income, renter, and old home. Following cluster 2, you see they have low nitrate, low child poverty, low, so that means these people are educated, these people have high income, these people are not renters, and these people have new homes. So you can see that this tracked across the board, saying that these were important indicators. So when we overlay these, this then further honed it down to these are the locations that we need to that we need to focus our interventions on. So in the future, what this means for us is that the census tracts with wells and no data, those are a priority for further testing. Census tracts with elevated concentrations of any surveillance constituent, including nitrate, will be focused on. And the Environment Department is going to be using this ranking system to inform their system for who can install what kind of on-site wastewater treatment system in the future. So we are working with other local stakeholders to determine next steps, and we're working on educational tools for well owners that are specific for the areas that these people live. And they make me put that on all of my presentations. Thank you. Any questions? Yes, ma'am. Yes. Yes, that is available to us, and actually, that's available to it's on their website. Oh, I'm so sorry. She asked since the state engineer regulates the drilling of wells, are we able to get well location information from them? And the answer is yes. It's available on the website for our Office of the State Engineer, and it's actually publicly available for anybody to access. They've done a nice job. So they've been keeping records since 1907, but they aren't very high quality. Like, you know, like, maybe what county it's in. And then also some of the logs since the 70s I consider fictional. It's the Wild West. But the data from 2007 about has started really improving. So from now going forward, the information that we get is high quality information. So they're cleaning it up. Yes, ma'am.
Hi, Megan Davies from North Carolina, and I have one comment and then a question.
Okay.
My comment is just to encourage people to use the microphone when you have questions, because although the speaker can hear you, the others in the room often can't, and then they lose some of the richness of the discussion. So I think everybody in the room has a lot to contribute, and then it also takes pressure off the speaker to memorize every word being said to them.
Thank you.
So the question is, the testing of wells for constituents. It was an excellent presentation, but I got a little lost trying to figure out where you get that data, if that's people just voluntarily testing their wells, and is that stored in some centralized location, your state laboratory, commercial labs. Where do you get actual results on well water testing, and how representative is it of well users?
So using nitrate as an example, there are roughly 250,000 wells that we know of used for drinking water in New Mexico, and we have 18,000 nitrate observations in the state of New Mexico. So you see we have a lot of work to do to improve clean up a lot of those gray spaces in our maps. There are some places where we just have entire counties we know nothing about. There are certain counties, like Bernalillo County, where we have most of our people. They require, when a well is drilled or at transfer of property, for that well to be tested, and they share that data with us. Of course, they share it by saying, yeah, come on down to the office. You can copy this stuff out of our filing cabinet. So a lot of the data we get is hard copy paper data, but there is willingness to share it at the agency level. We rarely get information directly from a private well owner unless it's through, like, our biomonitoring program where, Alex, how many did we test this last year? So we were able to provide well testing for about 200 people. So the largest source of data is actually the New Mexico Environment Department's water fairs that they posted over the a few decades. The problem with that is that's like field test information, and it's self-reported by the well owners. But it's still usable data, so.
My name's Louise, and I'm from Utah, southern central Utah, and we've been trying to map septic tank data from our local health department. And I was just wondering does the health department track the septic tank? Do they permit that? And have you looked at that with the nitrate data?
So our environment department does regulate that, and they do map that. And when they go out and do their inspection and they permit it, they're supposed to take a lat and long and an elevation, not only of the septic tank, but of the well. But that what they're supposed to do and what happens in real life, we're working out the kinks.
Yeah, we found a lot of kinks.
So what we do is, instead of having the actual location of the private well in this particular study, is we just use the location of the well as a proxy for the septic tank. Because it wasn't, it was a statewide analysis, and in general, in New Mexico, if somebody has a well, they also have a septic tank.
Yeah.
Or somebody, five homes have one well, they'll have five septic tanks. That's also a common scenario.
Yeah. Thanks.
Thank you.
Hello, I'm David O'Brien from the Alaska Cancer Registry. Here in Anchorage, and in addition to wearing my cancer registry hat, I also run a community water system.
Holy moly!
So my subdivision is very old, and all our houses get their water from one well.
Okay.
And so it's considered a public water system by the Alaska Department of Environmental Conservation. So we have to go through all the testing that water tests that a very large water company goes through. So we have to test for bacteria three times a year, and we have to test for nitrate once a year, and then we have a whole suite of other things that we have to test for. But yeah, we used to be able to go to the Department of Environmental Conservation website and see where all the locations of all the public water systems were in Alaska, because there was a big map of it, and then there was concerns about terrorism, and they took all that stuff down. But there's still like a query system that you can use, so you can still, query the names of the different water systems in Alaska, and you can find out information about them, but they won't give you their precise address. So if you're trying to find like information about where they're located. And I think in Alaska also for domestic waters, just personal water wells, I think they're only required to get tested when they sell the property. I think you said the same thing about in New Mexico, only when they transfer properties when they need to get tested?
I only know of that in one of our 33 counties. The others, it just depends on the type of loan they're getting. So if it's a VA loan, it'll be required. And if it's not, then nothing.
Nothing. Oh, okay. All right. Well, I just wanted to just kind of throw that out.
Well, thank you.
Thank you.